Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
6'8", prematurely bald, didn't know he was going to make it, always the underdog, ends up soaring the absolute heights and retires as his country's top scorer. Hello, hello, hello. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football. It's me, Owen Blackhurst, back from a week's sabbatical writing the cover feature for the next issue of Monday Isle that goes to print tomorrow over the weekend, Monday. We've had some new reviews in my absence. This is from Rob Scott, 1982. Timeless, it starts. Just as you can pick up a chat with a true friend even after not seeing them for months or years, this podcast does for moments in football you thought were long forgotten. Brought to life as if they happened only last week. So instead of only doing it once or twice a year, how about a weekly dose? It's effortlessly funny. There's a lot of effort goes into it, mate. Sentimental and life-affirming. Oh. All these qualities shone through a lens of good old-fashioned piss-taking, just like all of your best conversations with your lifelong friends.
Oh, that's pretty.
Thank you, Rob Scott, 1982. That is a lovely review, and hopefully that review was done before last week's episode, so hopefully you weren't as disgusted as me with the ice hockey chat. When I was listening to it, and I listened as a fan, I didn't have time to listen pre, and I thought, I messaged Birdo and said, was he on about fucking ice hockey? And he went, yeah, madness. Well, and I hadn't got to the denouement at that point. The day this episode is released is on February the 29th, which not only is that Rare Diseases Day, which I will not be using in any way, shape or form to talk about my co-host, because Seb or Tommy would laugh at something outrageous. Here he is.
I'm already laughing. You haven't even said anything.
But it's also a leap year. And you know what that means, don't you? It means that the Euros are always held in a leap year, something I did not know until I put two and two together the other day. And you know what else that means, don't you?
That's good.
You know what else that means?
Go on.
Go on.
Absolutely fuck all. Times of behaviour. It's a man-made construct to keep us all in check.
Yeah.
But, what it does mean is that I can do this and compare my colleagues to Euros mascots, past and present.
Yeah. Oh.
Across from me, the Ursine, Tommy Albart Stewart, the Euro 24 biscuit-headed bear. Next to him, it's Seb. Goliath's the name, Britpop's the game. White from Euro 96.
Yes!
Of course. What else?
And next to me, flip-flapping and rainbow-flicking about, it's James Skillsy Bird.
Oh.
The fuckwit from Euro 2020. I'm Bird. Skillsy.
He's called Skillsy, yeah.
He's really, yeah.
And was he?
We did a lot about it looking like Birdo at the time, yeah. And I'm Bernie the Bunny from Euro 88, because he's the best one. Yes. Anyway, this is, he is the best one.
Yeah.
Pair of Adidas on, yeah. Ears, yeah. Black shirt, Euro 88 across the front.
Yeah, yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Great logo on, yes, yeah.
Reminding You Why You Love Football, a five-star monster of a podcast with 40-odd timeless episodes to listen to. We're part of the Acast Creator Network, part of all sorts these days. Seb's got into a cult.
Which one's
what
this?
What is it?
Eh?
Which one's this?
The Cult of Owen.
Hamrich. the cult of Hamrich. Is it, those of you who don't know, and it didn't seem, Seb seemed not to want to talk about it last week. Seb's beloved, and a club I've been trying to get him to give up on for about 4 years, I must say.
Really?
Yes.
Recently, the new owners have decided to outwardly be not calling it Hampton and Richmond anymore, or lovingly in, as known as the Beavers. They're calling them Hamrich.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hamrich.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Who'd you support, mate? Hamrich.
No. And rich. Then, and then just you, rich.
It sounds like some sort of West London wanking cult.
I'm in. Finally a name. I've been looking for a name for it.
And it sounds like ham. And it sounds like ham sandwich.
We have been trying to think of a name for our West London wanking call, haven't we, Seb?
West London wanking. It's ridiculous, but
is it the Wrexhamification of non-league football?
Oh,
I don't even think it's that. People do want to see behind the curtain.
Always.
We also speak to a lot of potential partners about long-form documentaries in our wider role in where we work. It's like a few years ago when you kept seeing, let's do a Last Dance in creative decks. Mm. Go, no, you can't do a Last Dance because you don't have Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, or 10 years of archive footage. So let's park that and come up with another idea. No, we're just calling it the Last Dance as an umbrella term. Yeah, but you're not going to... It's the same now. Where's the Wrexhams? There isn't any. They're fucking one of the oldest clubs in the world, and they've got a perfect storm. There's not going to be another one. You are not going to be able to take over fucking dickhead Rovers and turn them into the next Wrexham. Just fucking leave it. Come up with something else.
What is your knowledge of Doncaster City's behaviour at the moment? Do you know much about that?
No.
Doncaster City?
No.
I've been to Doncaster.
Doncaster City have...
I didn't even know there was
I've been
a Doncaster
many a times
City.
Yeah, Doncaster.
They've signed Ross McCormack... Wesley Houlihan.
No.
Oh, is it like Lashins or something
like
that?
They've started to sign all the
like
sort
Bill,
of
Billericke
championship
type.
Championship heroes of yesteryear.
Doncaster. I've had some great times in Doncaster.
Oh, I've had a good night out there, this lad was...
Doing what?
Watching football and then drinking after the great
games. Watching the Oval.
We won the league at
what
Doncaster.
Do you mean, doing what? What else is he going to be doing in Doncaster?
To be fair, Doncaster's quite good racing, but yeah.
You've been to York, Seb?
Yes.
What for?
Football.
Exactly. You're bit... Chester.
Football. Yeah. First, but I have been as a tourist.
Stoke.
Never been to Stoke.
So not even Alton Towers?
Not as a...
You'd love to tick it off the list,
though,
wouldn't you?
That's not Stoke, is it?
Pretty much.
Well, it is, but it's...
Just
basically,
good
if Seb's been
Newcastle.
Somewhere, he's been for football.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually.
But which is better than James? Casually asking me the other day if he should pop down to West Kent for a day out because he liked the woods where I was walking the dog.
Oh, no, it did look lovely.
Yeah, but there's loads of good places to go in the UK.
It was more.
Come to where I live.
It was more the steam train.
And the steam train. It was a steam
it was more
train.
The Seb train.
The big Seb. The big Seb.
For those of you. For those of you don't follow me on social
Please.
Media, for a long time, anything I saw which was tall or big or old, I would take a picture of and put on my Instagram story and say, all right, Seb. But I hadn't done it for a bit, and I saw this steam train. I nearly fucking fell over getting my phone out of my pocket, nearly dropped it in the mud. Like, the dogs were looking at me. There was people waiting to come past me down the path. Sorry, I've just got to take a picture of this. Just got the video of it, and it started puffing perfectly.
Oh, it's a great video.
All right, Seb. Just slowly goes across the screen.
Sebby!
Here he is.
Seb!
That's very funny.
Should we get on with the show?
Yes.
Yeah. Off we go. Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland. It is me, and we are talking about, and this sort of sprung from something I heard James say on last week's podcast about that Lawless Bandit era of the late 80s and early noughties. Mm. About this, like, sort of the turn of the turn of the century and early millennium. And it's just slightly different, but I just went, I'll go and have a look. So I went and had a look at 2006 World Cup top scorers. And I went down the list and went down the list and went down the list. And there popped out a name I hadn't thought about for a long time. It's that big fucking monster, Jan Koller. Now, the headline info, and I'm so glad I had a bit of time to go a bit deeper into Jan Koller. But firstly, as you probably know, 6'8", big bald head, slab-chested, 55 goals for his country, Big Jan. Memorably formed a great partnership with Milan Baroš at Euro 2004. Mm-hmm. Previous to Dortmund, he had been in Belgium for 5 seasons, 3 years at Lokeren, 2 at Anderlecht, where he scored 110 goals in about 200 games. Belgian Golden Shoe, formed a big man, little man with Thomas Rosinski.
Oh.
Yeah, he took off. He took off in Belgium. And then Matthias Sammer, one of the greatest sweepers to play the game before his career was cruelly cut short by knee injuries, signed him in his spell as Dortmund manager to play as the spearhead in a front three with Thomas Rosicki, his Czech teammate, and Marcio Amoroso, who scored a lot of goals this season. Now,
he looks brilliant in that Dortmund kit, Rosicki.
They all do.
Oh, yeah.
Koller looks great. Now, we'll get the numbers out of the way first. By the time he left in 2006, he'd played 182 games, scored 79 goals and assisted 31 others. But they, as ever, do not tell the story. So you could go and watch a lot of his goals and see a lot of headers, but you've also got to have a look around the edges from that, because he was quick for a big man, or quick for anyone, actually. He could move. Mm. Jan Koller could move. And he did all the things you'd expect him to do well. He acted as the focal point. He let skillful players buzz off around him. But his first competitive goal for Dortmund is a 25-yard free kick against Wolfsburg. Bends it, bottom corner. First season there, they win the league.
Right.
And the only season they win the league while he's there. And he makes decisive contributions that see him remain a legend today. They were 5 points behind Leverkusen going into the final two games.
Wow, what was then?
In the penultimate game of the season, they beat Hamburg 4-3 and Big Jan Koller scored the winner. So there's your instant hero status. And then he scored again on the last day of the season and they won the league. And then they went to the UEFA Cup final, where they lost to Feyenoord, and who Van Hooijdonk scored a great, great free kick for in that final. But Jan Koller's goal in that final, he takes it down on the edge of the box on his chest. And as he takes it down, he pushes it past the defender and hits this fucking volley top corner. If anyone thinks he's just a big man, you've just got to watch this. I was in the spare bedroom at my mum's house. I'd moved back into
a
surgery.
What a chest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crikey.
So there's some other famous headline stuff for his time there. So that was...
Wow.
It's a great goal, isn't it?
He deceives the defender kind of with his chest touch, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's fucking gigantic.
That's fucking brilliant.
He is. He's like fucking Machamp.
One more. Machamp.
Well, he's basically, he's the same height as Peter Crouch, but it's like someone has got one of those turkey basters women used to use for artificial insemination, filled it with muscle and fat.
One of those ones.
And pumped it into his body and made him a fucking grok.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you in a minute where his fucking hench comes from.
Oh.
Well, it's natural, obviously. But there is a reason why. But
rocks.
A few more highlights. The season after... He famously, because he was a goalie when he was a kid, and he said he was a good goalie, but he didn't like catching, found it boring, which I think means he was shit at it, but used to punch a lot. But he'd already scored against Bayern, and then they lost the game because they were 2-1 down, I think, when he went in goal. But for the remainder of the game, he kept a clean sheet. And occasionally now, when he plays for the Dortmund Legends team, he goes in goal as well. He plays up front and goes in goal.
That's class.
Still turns out there's...
On a Thursday night, that.
Like, we've talked about this before... But if anyone knows anything about Dortmund, and he had 5 seasons there and won the league, you'll understand why there's not a Dortmund fan, really, apart from people who have been drawn to the club in recent years who aren't from there, who would pick like a Haaland above Jan Koller. Like, Jan Koller is back on the pitch, getting fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole crowd singing about him. But it was a great squad when he was there. Jürgen Kohler was still there, stuff like that, and Lars Ricken, et cetera. So it was great. But they beat that Leverkusen bridesmaids team. Immer der Brautfinger is in German, always the bridesmaid. And I know that because we had an article.
We did. Good
called
article.
That in the league. Anyway, but then I started looking a bit more and thinking, yeah, well, I remember some of these goals and I remember him playing against Liverpool and, I remember Jan Koller. So then I read this long interview with Jan Koller and I learned loads of stuff I didn't know. And it starts by him talking about his size 15, big as a ship shoe, which they had to custom make specifically for me.
Big as a ship is fucking great.
Yeah.
Not from Shoe Zone then?
No, but that was, definitely not from Shoe Zone. But listen to this. So when Jan Koller was 20, he had no idea that he was going to make a living from football. 20.
Wow.
After finishing his apprenticeship, he joined a collective farm back home in Smetanova Hlotta as a technician. I drove the tractors in overalls, and although I didn't enjoy it, I thought that was my direction once my military service had ended. Didn't really make it playing for the military teams either, and I would eventually find another job, and although I liked it in the countryside, my eyes were set on Prague. And when he was like 14, 15, playing amateur football, he was going out on the piss and puking on the side of the pitch and drinking with the older players and stuff like that. And he never really thought he was going to make it. And but basically, everywhere he went, he had to prove himself. He finally got to Sparta Prague, but they looked at him as like, he'll never make it. And it was just through graft and graft. But then he got to the first team at Sparta. It never really happened for him. And he had to go to Belgium to make his name. And at first, when he was with the national team, he didn't think some of the players took him seriously. And later in his career, Pavel Nedved apologised to him and said, I didn't.
And wow.
Look, oh, wow.
And Koller says, listen to this. He said, because it's a young country, Czech Republic, right?
Yeah,
of course.
During my football career, I've had a lot of team and individual successes, moving farewells in Belgium and Dortmund, beautiful matches, goals. But for myself, the best of the best will always be the memories and feeling of the group that gradually formed on the national team. No title or award can match that.
Blimey.
91 games, 55 goals. Czech's top scorer. Like, then he also said something about football that really made me love him even more. It's that when I see fathers out of their minds today, pushing their sons at any cost somewhere beyond their football and human abilities, it never ceases to amaze me. I had the exact opposite. I loved football in its purest form. I played it anywhere and any time. Even during my time in Dortmund, I went home and played in the local league in Prague with my mates.
Oh, what a man.
To a lot of today's boys, it seems to me as if football is forbidden for them outside of training or something. And yes, James, we will be doing a piece on your colour for the next issue of the magazine for the Euros issue. Absolutely.
How could you sense that was what I was thinking? Then?
Because like you were looking going, oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know this. That'd be great. Superb. You want to go ride a tractor with him in his village? I know you well enough, because so do I. I'll put the link up. I've got goosebumps again about it. I mean, look, you can find the goals on YouTube, and they're all there. And you can go and see the reception he gets when he goes back, and he still plays for Dortmund legends. And there's great videos of them in Ghana or them playing Liverpool and stuff like that. But I thought that for a player I knew not a lot about beyond his goals and who he'd played for, I didn't know he'd started in. I remember him at Dortmund, and then I remember him playing for Czech. That was it, really.
Yeah.
I consider I know a fair amount about football, but
yes,
reading that. It just made me like, what a fucking legend. And now, then when you go back and view all the other stuff, the way his teammates are with him in every clip you see, the way his teammates talk about him in every clip you see, the way the fans react to him, you understand that he's a fucking great bloke who just loves football. So, like,
you're excited for this and you've more than lived up to it.
It's nice. I was excited for it because it's nice.
It's lovely.
It's easy to come up with players off the top of your head who you know and love and think, oh, I'll just talk about X player because I know it's a good one and then go and do it. But it's even better when you get a surprising one.
Yeah.
Like, we'll probably do Romario at PSV at one point, but there's loads of great goals. But this, I just thought, fucking hell, what a great, great thing. And an unlikely, big, mad, 6'8", prematurely bald, didn't know he was going to make it, always the underdog, ends up soaring the absolute heights and retires as his country's top scorer. What a fucking career that is. 55? People forget. Like Alan Shearer only scored 30 goals for England.
Yeah.
And I think often we put a lot on the top scorer in England, but there's a lot of countries where players steam past that 50 mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to that denigration.
And European countries who would have played similar tough opposition.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly, especially around then.
No, I thought like I was, but that whole piece of his, and I reckon it's about 2,000-3,000 words long, first person. The link's in the thing there. If you want to get read it.
You touched on it briefly, but my favourite international match ever. I remember because I was really ill and watched it with my mum and brother in bed. I would have been 14. That Netherlands Czech Republic match and I think he assisted Barros, didn't he, for the winner?
Mm. Yeah.
And that strike partnership.
But he was much, much more than flick-ons and back to goal.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, until you read all that, until I saw some of those goals, I didn't necessarily know that.
I just loves football.
I think what all this is maybe there's not enough respect on the big man's name.
I think there is.
The big men.
No, there is. Because I ended up on Reddit last night. There's people called Collar the Goat and things like that.
I mean the big men generally.
Yes.
The big men up top.
Yeah, maybe. But I also think Collar. I think people would look back and say, oh, big Jan Collar. And then because we've talked about it before. Both are true. The accepted narrative becomes, oh, yeah, he's a big man. But no. To anyone, I would love to talk to Dortmund fans and Czech fans about Jan Collar.
Yeah,
you've got to.
Maybe we will.
There's another thing about the big men here that's interesting to me is that coming into the professional game late and being unsure as to whether he's going to make it and having another job. Stefan Meyerhofer, who was a Wolves big man that we got in when we got promoted to the Premier League.
I bet your Mick was excited about him, wasn't he?
It was a big Mick signing.
Was it?
Yeah. I think he only played 9 times. He scored 1 goal for us, actually, Stefan Meyerhofer.
Beryl, I found this lad.
Austrian, gigantic.
Legs like oaks.
Yeah. The first time I saw him coming onto the pitch, me and my brother were just like, he doesn't look real.
Yeah.
But he also... He worked as a chef for ages up until he was like 18, 19, 20, and then got his chance. So I wonder if that's something that is consistent amongst the big men.
Tell you what, this when you said 6'8", it instantly reminded me of the tallest player I've ever seen play football, which is Carl Hudlin.
He's six foot eight.
Yeah, well, it's Carl Hudlin, 6'8", at the playoff final, National League playoff final, playing for Solihull. And I have never seen a team so... focused in using their one weapon essentially. And he was good, and Solihull were in pretty much control against Grimsby for a good 50 minutes. Get the ball up to him, get the flick-ons, pacey wingers and stuff like this. And he scored one. And then he just ran out of steam. He comes off, he'd been injured as well. He just comes off, and the whole game plan, because it had been so rooted through him, changed completely, and Grimsby go and score two and win the playoff final.
As someone who's tall, were you tall as a kid as well?
Like, no, you've seen little Sebby Toxford.
That's true.
I literally went from the smallest person in the classroom to, like...
Right. But when you were playing...
It took 3 days.
Yeah.
When you were playing football, were you always put either at centre-back or up top?
Well...
Because of being the big man?
Since I've become bigger, yeah. It's quite an easy thing. And I've, you know, but I did play in goal when I was really small.
Oh, interesting.
Weirdly.
Okay.
And you can't edit the ball.
I'm terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Seb, no.
No.
Scared?
No.
That's
not very good.
I'd say worst part of his game.
Yeah.
Really?
He's one of them big blokes, 6'4", jumps like he's 5'6".
Yeah, 100. Guilty, Your Honour.
There we go. Jan Koller.
Well done.
Respect on the name.
That's really good.
Mundial joins the dots for football culture. And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial magazine? 100 pages of global football magic, released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Right then, this is midfield blunt rotation, and Seb and Tommy have just told me and James beforehand we're going to do something a little bit different here. So this could mean anything. They could act it out. This is midfield blunt rotation, and Seb, Tommy, take it away.
This week on midfield blunt rotation, despite what Owen said about constructs of time, we are going to use time as a device to... So back on this day...
Have you built a DeLorean?
Yeah. Back in this day, on the day of this... Back in the day...
We've made a time machine out of Dulwich Hamlet!
Are you going to read a line each, like you've done a little poem in?
Maybe.
The school show.
Oh, we tried it. It didn't work.
Yeah. If you do that, it'll be a two-person podcast pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
And by two, I mean me and Ed.
Oh. Yeah.
You'd like that.
On the day that this podcast is released, back in 2004...
20 years ago today.
Of course, yeah. Sorry, I hadn't even put two and two together. Twat. 20 years ago today, the League Cup final was between Bolton and Middlesbrough.
Oh, baby.
And I think we've mentioned the Bolton midfield before in various discussions. And I was like, well, that's obviously one for the blunt rotation chat. But then I looked at the Middlesbrough team.
Should we take them through it?
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Middlesbrough and then we're going to talk about Bolton and then we're going to decide whose dream, who's blunt.
Whose dream, whose nightmare?
Today I'm going to speak...
You're representing Middlesbrough.
I'm representing Middlesbrough.
Yep.
And the first name on that team sheet is Gaika Mendieta. And he... Let's just get a sense, if you don't know who he is. He's playing for Middlesbrough in a League Cup final, but a couple of seasons before this, he has been the best midfielder in Europe for 2 seasons in a row, according to UEFA. Now, of course, this is all a little bit subjective, but he took them to 2 Champions League finals, so Valencia.
Won a La Liga.
So he's obviously fucking pretty good.
Yeah.
And he ends up at Middlesbrough, which, again, I love the fact that Middlesbrough just go and buy these players that you might have seen in more, shall we say, exotic locations.
Yes.
But they go to Middlesbrough and they fucking love it and have a great time. You know, Ravanelli, I know, was only there for a season. Janinho, of course, you know, everyone knows about him. But Mendieta has a fucking great time there.
A DJ as well, isn't
he? And a DJ
very
now.
Successful DJ.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, cool. I am going to sit here now. So looking at what he's done since he's finished his career. And again, I think his career is quite mundial in that he has a great fucking spell at Valencia. Then he pops up at like
yeah, he just
Barcelona.
Started, by the looks of it, he
Lazio.
Just started going out on the piss.
Yeah.
Or if not the piss, enjoying himself.
Enjoying himself, life. And he now has a string of restaurants. He's got a paella restaurant in London that's really meant to be very, very good. He's got a chain of restaurants with other people. He DJs. He has, and he puts
on indie nights at the Shacklewell Arms.
He does?
No, he doesn't.
He has done, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. He sounds like he's got the sort of life Pep Guardiola thinks he's got when he was slagging off that journalist the other week.
Exactly.
The fucking weapon. Anyway.
Big cycle. He goes.
Mendieta, I'm in.
Alongside him in the centre of midfield, George Boateng.
Yay! There we go.
Who joins Middlesbrough. He was very nearly went to Liverpool, but joins Middlesbrough. So again, talking about how quality of the player. But my favourite thing about George Boateng from this is he said before the final, we were so revved up, we could have killed a lion. We could have each killed a lion.
Oh, this one each?
Yeah, this is how revved up we were. And do you want to know why they were revved up?
11 lions.
Because in the pre-match meeting, Steve McLaren had played them a clip from Any Given Sunday.
Fantastic. Go on, the Steve.
Yeah.
Seb, who else has Steve McLaren drafted into this?
I can't imagine this next cunt's hunting any fucking lions.
Deriva.
I saw him play.
Yeah. Deriva, who we've mentioned on the pod before because he's assistant manager to Silvino at Albania. They're very much the calm man. And
we have a laugh on this, don't we?
Yeah.
Hey, wee!
But again, a decent player. Sampdoria had paid $6 million for him a couple of seasons before. So again, a decent player. But I think that, for me, my favourite player in this midfield, and he also, I'm not just saying that because he becomes man of the match and he scores the winner in the final, is Zenden.
Our old mate, Seb.
We've mentioned him again on the podcast before, but I just want to say...
Baudivine Zenden, gold black belt judoist. Oh,
what a lovely bloke he was. But I'm not just saying this, but his line of clubs goes Barcelona, Chelsea,
boom,
Middlesbrough,
yep,
Liverpool, Marseille.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's fucking... The kids say put Zenden. Some flowers on their name, but... We should put some tulips on his name.
Just edit that out, Tom. It's
a but no, a genuinely great
staining. It's staining because of that.
He's a man of the match in the final. He scores the winner.
He is sensational.
For me, he is the best
final.
Player in that midfield. And for me, I think all of them, for different reasons.
Questionable Barnett as well, Zenden.
Him and Mendieta.
Mendieta's is awful. You know in Kingpin, when Bill Murray's just getting bigger and bigger?
Yes. That's a bit like me at the moment. That's my house.
And they never mention it, but every time the camera goes across, it's fucking huge. Mendieta's Barnett's a bit like that at this point in his career.
Yeah.
Should we go through Sam Allardyce's Bolton?
Oh, yeah.
We're Bolton, we're balmy, we're on the piss tonight. We're Bolton, we're balmy, we're on the piss tonight.
How far away are they?
I have an advantage, or you could see it as a disadvantage in this blunt rotation, blunt off, in that I have a five-man midfield versus your four-man. Let's start with Youri Djorkaeff. Nicknamed the snake because he could bend past defenders and bend the ball, apparently. Number six, pretty much always number six throughout his career, which I always thought was very cool for a man in his position. I like it when players kind of have a number that doesn't necessarily suit their position. Mm. Obviously, probably past his peak, much like Mendieta, much like maybe not Zenden. Zenden was still very good, and he was very good in that final from rewatching it. Mm. He does miss a couple of chances in this game, Djorkaeff, that I think maybe, I don't know, did you think rewatching a few years ago he might have put them away?
Well, you know what Seb thinks, don't you? What? The kids nowadays, they talk about putting flowers on his name. Well, he wants to give Djorkaeff some fucking tulips.
The kids.
He did say the kids.
Sorry,
The kids. I scored one of Djorkaeff's greatest ever goals. I scored almost identical one. Admittedly, it wasn't...
Which one? Because I watched his top 20
yesterday.
Admittedly,
it wasn't in Serie A. Mine. It was against Telford Jacks in an under-18 game on a Sunday morning.
It's not bad, mate.
Where it bounces up and he overheads it from the angle there.
Yeah.
My man was there.
You've spoken about this guy.
I've spoken about it before because instead of giving me any credit for that, he talked about the two easier ones I'd missed. Yeah. But I had the picture in my mind to be able to try it because of Youri Djorkaeff.
In fact, we've got a little surprise now. Dave Blackhurst on the phone, everybody.
Don't know what you're on about.
Thanks,
we
Dave.
We are in Werfield live and uncourteous. Dave Blackhurst.
Live from Marijuana Mansions. Right, and next we've got Kevin Nolan, a young Nolan. He's learning from some of the best. I was telling Seb before this, for about half an hour when I was doing my research yesterday, I was watching Kevin Davis and reading about Kevin Davis because as a child, as a teenager,
but
I would
also
get
plays
two.
In this game.
He does, yes.
He's up front for Bolton.
I used to get these
game.
Two mixed up a lot. He nearly played for the Netherlands. Did you know that?
No, this is mental.
He got asked by the Dutch FA if he would play for them, and then apparently it was like one too far removed, but it was during that mid-2000s era. So he would have played with the likes of David, the likes of Seedorf, Van Nistelrooy. Next, JJ Okocha, so good they named him twice, to quote Soccer AM. He was one of my favourite players growing up, one of my heroes, always a joy to watch. We replicated his skills every fucking week, every day. When you'd see him on Saturday or you'd see him on Match of the Day, what he'd do. What else is there to say that Asad Raza hasn't already said?
I'll tell you what you can say.
Go on.
But he wasn't named twice, was he? I've always had a problem with this. His name's not JJ. So that's just a nickname. So he's so nice. They gave him a nickname. Yeah, it doesn't quite drip off the tongue, does it? So nice, they gave him a nickname with two names in it.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, his name's not JJ. His first name's Augustine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Augustine, brackets, JJ Okocha.
But it was cool at the time.
For what it's worth.
I know, it is cool. Yeah. I love him. I watched the clip of him rinsing Man United and over again.
And
him making Roy Keane. No, just the Man United.
Sorry.
Him making that specific
video.
I just watched him making Roy Keane chase shadows. Anyway, sorry, James.
No, for what's worth, JJ Okocha has the hearty accolade of the best performance I've ever seen at the Molineux.
Really?
Yeah. Ah!
Yeah,
and you've seen a few.
You've seen some players.
I've seen some fantastic players.
Bloody hell!
Go around the Molineux every any day of the week.
Yeah.
Fine,
but he was he was fucking untouchable in a game against.
He is. We all love him.
Next up, we've got Ivan Campo.
He never looked like a
two times Champions League winner.
Who would play Ivan Campo in the story of this game? It would be Javier Bardem, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or Screech Powers,
or Alan Davis.
He's dead.
Well, not obviously. Alan Davis.
Alan Davis.
Sorry, that was much better. Let's move. Yeah,
Screech is dead.
I forgot he was.
There you are.
Dustin Diamond died of cancer.
He said though,
you put a Real Madrid shirt on
Alan Davis.
and tell him he's playing DM for the night.
Yeah, mate. I had a good game. Yeah. In this team, he said, in that team, anyone could play well. The dressing room didn't understand names. The star was the team. Raddy Jaidi said Sam Allardyce was a genius at man management. A genius. Mm. Like, if you missed a team night out, Allardyce wouldn't even go on these team nights out, as you might think. But if you miss one, you'd be fine. But then he was like, it was a good thing because you regretted it. Him and Okocha didn't go to a team night out. Then they went to the next one. They're like, this is the best fucking team nights out ever. So that midfield, that team were just very bonded. And then
no pints of wine.
No.
He was having them back home with this particular team during this particular.
It was amazing.
Time. Yeah.
Oh, this the Bolton. Line.
And then watching Arsenal go and get turned over by Bolton was as good as it got for a few years.
And that's when Okocha did the rainbow flick on the byline.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then we've got Per Franston, two spells at Bolton, been with them through the lows, been in the champion. Well, what would have been the old first division at the time. And this is his final season at Bolton. He played 9 more matches for Wigan, I believe. And to me, he looks like a combo of Dolph Lundgren and Quentin Tarantino.
Strong
his,
look.
His face is 50% of each of those.
Yeah.
A strong look.
Yeah.
He's a good, decent player.
I liked him.
As well.
I liked him. So there you go. That's the Bolton midfield.
I have wanted to for absolutely ages do a proper sort of audio doc about just this game, because I don't think there's ever been two more sort of like disparate and mad and cult midfields playing against each other in British football. Like, you've got McLaren and Allardyce. Like, it's just perfect.
It is.
There's so many
ingredients.
There's a lot going on. There's an awful lot going on.
For the benefit of the listeners.
It's also played at the Millennium Stadium, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it is. It's just the most cool. Then it will have been on ITV, I'm sure.
Schwarzer, Mills, Ehiog, rest in peace. Gareth Southgate, yeah. Frank Cadru, Mendieta, Boateng, Deriva, Zenden, Janinho, Joseph Desire, Job, Jessica Linen, Hunt, and Yotti.
God,
Emerson Tomei.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Nicky Hunt's in there, isn't he?
Nicky Hunt, right back. Charlton. Franson, Campo, Okocha, Nolan, Jorkoff, and then Kevin Davis up front.
What are we thinking? Characters.
This is what I'm saying.
No, it isn't.
Both 11s, not just the midfields.
Nightmare and Blunt. I mean, James, it's down to you and me. But then it's going to have to be Ed for the casting vote, I think. So
I like that.
James, Jorkoff, Nolan, Okocha, Campo, Franson. Blunt or Nightmare? Nightmare or Dream?
Dream, man. Dream. Yeah. I'd love to chill with those people.
Nolan.
Yeah, just fucking let him yap on.
Yeah.
See, this is...
I've had a lot of splits with a lot of Scousers.
Yolen is tempered by JorKF, who was brought out of his shell by...
I don't want to talk about UFOs with Kevin Nolan.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of do.
I don't want fucking Ivan Campo eating all the charcuterie before I get to it.
He is
trying
lovely.
To say some half-priced CBD gums or something.
Per Franson, though. Per Franson might be into, like, saunas and naked cold dips.
Yeah.
So, Dream.
Yeah.
Dream.
So, he's a Dream. So, there's a Dream.
Borough.
Geika Mendieta. George Boateng. Dorivar and Bolo Zenden.
They might be a bit full of themselves, this lot.
No, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
They might be. Oh, I'm upset.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Full of themselves.
Mendieta, shirt down to
there. Yeah. Real content.
Like Blair on holiday.
Some real
dancing
continental
flair. Dancing like Al Pacino in Scarface when he's trying to get with Michelle Pfeiffer. Up, like, do the way, oh.
You know when you... Yeah, there's like when you go to the pub or on holiday and there's that group of like five French lads.
Oh, yeah, like...
got Oxford shirts on.
Yes!
An extra button Ralphie's. Done down.
Yeah.
Spitting, pictures of their mums in their wallets.
Yeah.
Yes!
Fucking hell.
It's a bit, she is not my girlfriend, she is my mother. How could anyone compare to my mother?
It's a little bit international school for me.
I thought it was a shoo-in.
Oh, James, I was very confident.
James thinks they're like all the boys Mathilde fancied at school.
Yes!
That's what it is! Oh my God. Bias. Fucking Dorivar strutting through. He's been back to Brazil over the summer.
Fella.
So?
Come back looking fucking hot. Been on fucking Copacabana all fucking summer, hasn't he?
Dad's got a boat.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Dad's got a boat.
My dad's got mental problems.
He uses the bathwater to clean his car.
Yeah.
I agree and think they're a nightmare.
Yes!
Oh, Barrel, I'm... Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is 101 Things to Do in Football Before You Die with James Bird, who's got a new haircut and looks lovely.
Thank you. All right, so my thing to do in Football Before You Die is very simply to watch a match before breakfast.
Yes.
So I'm going to sling through three examples.
Can only be done at certain times, though. It's not like you can do it every day.
This is what I'd like to talk about. It does take special
But your dad does have, like, Cocoa Pops for dinner, so maybe it's always breakfast.
Do you know what my dad had at 10:30 in the morning yesterday? Liver, bacon and onions that he cooked last Thursday.
Been in the fridge
That's
for a week.
Fucking incredible.
No.
Yeah.
What? Is he okay?
What?
Seb, I've seen some of the shit you shovel down here.
Seb.
No.
Seb.
Yeah, I know.
Seb, my dad's not okay.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to buzz through three examples here. The most famous of those is England versus Brazil, 2002 World Cup, and I wrote about that very recently in our subscriber newsletter, The Hat Trick. You know, a lot of things felt special about that. Turn of the millennium, the visual identity of that World Cup, the fact that you've got two golden generation teams coming up against each other, and it kicks off at 7:30 in the morning. So, you know, we had...
I was in the international halls at Edgehill University.
See, this is my thing. There's this. I compared it in the piece to a solar eclipse because everyone sort of remembers where they were at solar eclipse. During a solar eclipse, the birds start singing at a different time. People are sort of looking up at the sky and think differently.
Well,
as I walked to my friends that morning to watch that game, Purton, where I'm from, felt weird. Like, you know.
More weird.
More weird. Yeah, Purton, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Purton, where I'm from, felt more weird. And you know, that's what. When things happen at a different time to when they usually happen, it stays in your memory.
Yeah.
It feels different. The second example of these is recently in Austin, where I watched Arsenal play at, I think, kickoff was at sort of 8:00 in the morning or whatever.
I was bloody there.
You were there with the Austin Gooners.
Yeah.
And there's like fucking 7,550 of them.
Loads.
And they were fucking plastered.
Were they?
Oh, yeah.
What time are they?
The bar, opens at 6 a.m.
Does it?
Yeah.
They're at 6.
And they were serving tacos and stuff, but just again.
Great. It was great.
Again,
yeah.
Mad people doing a mad thing at a mad
Good
time.
Good people.
And then the last sort of example of this is 2018. I went to Australia to profile Australian fans of Premier League clubs. And if you think about what an Australian Burnley fan who lives in the middle of nowhere on the Gold Coast...
I'm sorry, that United fan was the worst.
Oh, bless him, man.
With all the tattoos on his legs.
Yeah, he...
Alex Ferguson on his arse.
It's a great series.
He uttered the brilliant line, girlfriends come and go, but Manchester United are forever. We filmed him having a shower.
Give me your number, bro.
To be fair, you've
got that... I could do with a friend.
You did film him in the shower. Or as a cheek.
You've got that as a tattoo, haven't you?
Filmed him in the shower, yeah.
Something like that.
My favourite...
He's got Ferguson on his leg.
It's a very different experience, though, isn't it? Watching it that early. It feels your body clock is so, again.
It's like something me and James were talking about this morning, in that it's the unique experience of being a cricket fan is rolling over in the morning turning the radio on to find out England are fucked.
Yeah.
Yet again. It's the closest it gets to that with football because you don't expect it. Normally, by the time a football match kicks off, you had a chance to fucking get your wits about you. I once walked across San Francisco at like 5 a.m. to go to a Chelsea pub to watch Liverpool lose to Chelsea. It was one of the worst mornings. I mean, it ruined the day.
We
had to go to Alcatraz later and I had to really pretend to be into it.
You're right, I didn't think of that. It is the life of a cricket fan. I've done that since uni. Like, you know...
2 o'clock start on Boxing Day.
In uni, I watched it on my laptop on dodgy streams and used to, like, I was almost embarrassed about it. Like, no one else in the house was watching.
You get it with boxing occasionally, big fights, but less and less. But no, but... Football, you're right, because people refuse to not do the normal matchday rituals, despite the fact it's 5 a.m. Exactly. None of those blokes wanted to be drinking at 5 a.m.
No, but they can't not.
No, they've got to go back and fire up their leaf blowers and fucking...
I think, to be briefly, like, romantic about it...
You!
Yeah. To be briefly romantic about it, there's that idea of, like, a collectivism around it.
There is.
So, like, when, you know, that England game, to go back to it, again, I was only 12, but I remember it's one of my real, real formative memories. But it was that idea that across the country and across the world, everyone's sort of getting up at the same time to do a thing.
Well, it's the shared thing of, and it's again, we talked about it with the cricket, it's that it also helps in that tournaments are on terrestrial TV. So you know everyone's bought in.
Yeah.
You know there's 15, 20 million people watching it, you know there's people gone into school early, so there's 40 people watching it in a reception and things like that. So it binds everyone together in a way that no sport really does anymore. The World Cups and Euros and Olympics, they're the only ones really.
Yeah.
Well, because everyone's watching it.
Well, the one thing that sort of, because I watched quite a lot of that 2002 World Cup getting up early with my dad and watching it before school. And the one thing that set a precedent for that was 2 years before the Sydney Olympics in 2000. Yes. Me and my dad would get up early for that. And I remember getting up with him to watch Cathy Freeman win the 400 metres.
Was this when he tried to train you to be a pole vaulter down in the back garden?
What?
Oh, Seb.
Genuinely did not know this.
Well, it didn't happen, did it? You're joking.
I'm 5'10", Seb. I'm not going to be a pole vaulter. 101 things to do in football before you die.
Well,
watch a match before breakfast.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Love that, really, James.
Can't wait to do more of it. 2026, baby. Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be three stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now. Ins and outs and ins. Tommy Stewart.
Mine is the movie The Iron Claw, which is about the wrestling brothers from the 80s. It is featuring...
the Von Erich family.
Yes.
The Texas Tornado and all that.
You know the story, right? Ish. Very dark story, but I've seen a lot of the Oscar sort of... the Oscar bait films or the Oscar nominated films lately, and that one stands out. I've never been in a cinema where every fucking, like, genuinely the whole cinema is in tears. But it's not that sort of, it's not trying to make you cry. It's, you know, it's genuine real life tragedy. And it's brilliantly told.
I don't try to make you cry, but you do all the time.
I'm an emotional man. But it's, Zac Efron is quite good. But Jeremy Allen White steals the show for me. He's
Texas Tornado, isn't he, Kerry?
He is, yes.
And he's going out with Rosalia.
So I would recommend anyone watching it. It's just a great film.
Iron Claw, in. Seb.
Socially distant sports bar recently made it to episode 200.
Big up, boys.
We know them and we've got to know them over that time since they've been doing the podcast. But to do 200 episodes over 4 years during COVID, during all the different things that have happened, is incredible. And they are, I've listened to every single one and they are brilliant. And I would say if you haven't listened to them, you've got a lot of fun to look forward to.
I would agree. I mean, I'll slip in a very quick, they're not going to shag you, mate.
yeah.
Although Bubbins might, if he's had too many pints of brains after the rugby.
Yeah.
But what I love about it most, it's given me immeasurable laughs, like, especially in the dark days, but always whenever I listen to it, very funny. Very nice, kind three people.
Yes.
All in different ways. But more than anything, it's the independent spirit that started it and that has allowed it to continue. And they've worked at it and it's done wonders for all of their career in different ways. It's just shown that get an idea. Stick to your guns, keep doing it, and it'll grow. And you know, I think I take my off to him. Brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant. Great.
In. James Bird.
Just going the long way round, not always taking a shortcut.
Oh.
Sometimes I wish you'd take a shortcut. Just every now and again.
Just a couple of times. Yeah.
Rather than fucking beelining from the tube back to the front door, the quickest route.
Oh, I don't do that, mate.
Just have a little fucking wander.
James.
Take a left rather than a right.
In the words of Alex Turner.
This is where I was going. I didn't want to sing it. But...
Go on, sing it. Yeah, let him go the long way round.
Ian. Mine are Vivid Dreams brought on by New CBD.
Oh.
So, after taking the same one for a while, I decided I wanted some oil instead. I wanted to knock it up a little bit. Did my research, and I have a new
as you do.
I have a new and I have a new CBD oil, which I take probably a couple of hours before I go to sleep. And it's great, good for inflammation and pain. Great for sleep, but fucking hell, I've had some dreams.
Do you take it with Kevin Nolan, your original player? JJ Okocha and
even dreams.
That's me done. That's the callback. And that's why I'm in this podcast, I think.
Kind of dreams as in, mad dreams as in, like, completely bonkers situations, or...?
No, just very vivid. I mean, some haven't been that enjoyable, but balance...
Oof. Tell it. Give us one good one.
And the aliens been opening
the
door?
You can never quite remember dreams properly, though, can you?
I can remember all of these.
Some, I can.
Can you?
But I've just had some really vivid ones, and a lot with people I haven't seen for a long time. Like,
oh,
there's been...
really?
If the aliens open the door for you... Don't walk through it.
I wouldn't. They, imagine how pissed off they'd get with me.
Yeah.
Take him back.
Very good point.
Take him back. He seems to have got on his hands and knees and he's asking for the pro.
is that
goose grease? Outs. James Bird.
Footballs that pump too hard.
Out. Shit. Fucking out. Always out.
Awful.
Always out. Make you look a worse footballer.
Can't kick it properly.
And it shows you how good pros are because they play with balls that hard all the time.
Can't kick it properly. Can't head it properly.
But they're often cheap balls.
It hurts.
Because the proper pro balls, even where they pump really hard, they've got that much good cushion underneath that you don't get it.
They still have some give, don't they?
I noticed that when I train with Hampton.
Makes a horrible noise. Hurts your foot.
Hurts the roof of your feet. If you have to take one on your thigh, it slaps against it rather than cushions.
Roof of your feet.
No, but it makes sense.
Tops of your feet.
I know what you meant.
Rooftops.
I felt it when you said it.
Tommy.
My out is turning 34 because I feel like.
Fucking hell, my heart bleeds.
It's officially mid 30s. I was early 30s, now I'm mid 30s. I don't want to celebrate it. It was the other day. You know.
But is your life better now than when you were 24? Yeah.
100%.
That's what you're moaning about.
Yeah, exactly.
Embrace it, brother.
It's just
every year older I get, I enjoy life more.
I agree. I'll be honest, but dating, you know, it just feels a bit old.
Well, look,
every year,
don't worry about that.
You enjoy life more.
Yeah.
I do.
I am. My 30s was shit. Met you lot.
Yeah.
The last.
No.
Last 3 years.
No, 30s were hard. 20s were just, you know, they're a frenzy.
Yeah.
30s, you're like fucking trying to find your way and trying to do stuff and making wrong turns and like, well, not, but just all stuff's kicking off.
Yeah.
And I've just really enjoyed getting older.
20s was the hardest for me and 30s has been.
When did the years start getting better one by one?
Two, three years ago?
Yeah, same. 3 years ago.
Coincidentally, when I stopped drinking.
Yeah. Same here.
But no, not, no, loads of other stuff as well.
I'm not moaning. It's just a bit.
34?
No, more. And not just drinking, but just taking control, like cutting toxic people out of my life, things like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which, Owen, I think that's something you do when you stop drinking as well.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's family members and things like that, and you've got to be bold and just go, you know what, you're not good for me, out. So, yeah, out. They're all out. Tommy, I'm going to give it you as out, even though I think you should be flipping it the way and enjoying it. Yeah, difficult. Difficult. Seb?
My out is my social ineptitude hitting my wallet. We've been making a regular visit to the Algerian coffee shop around the corner.
I'm not comfortable with you talking about this.
Okay, what, you don't want people to know about it?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
No, it's all right. None of them are in London anyway.
What,
no.
You think we'll be accosted in there?
No, I think... No. So basically, where we work in Soho is like coffee expensive central.
Yeah.
And you can spend too much and it's not always that good and you've had your fucking oat milk flat white, you've drank it by the time you're back at the office, it hasn't done anything. Algerian coffee stores on Old Compton Street, one of the last vestiges of old Soho, I would say.
I see why, right. Yeah.
But you go in there and it's a bit carnage.
Yeah.
There's fucking coffee everywhere and they've got like, you know, they do some amazing chocolates and all this stuff in there. But they bang out double espressos of their house blend coffee for £1.50.
It's great. Doubles.
It's insane. And even a flat white's £2. But the reason I'm putting it in out, I'm not putting that in outs, is because I feel there's quite a few posters saying, please, if you can, play by cash. It's quite nice, you know.
Yeah, but they've never turned the card down.
No, they never have. But I always think, oh, I can't pay for two double espressos for £3, you know.
But you can.
Well, I can.
You're a sheep, aren't you? Sheeple.
So I shit myself and then go, well, I'll have to get some chocolate or something. And because it's all like really nice, posh, high-end chocolate.
Spend £7 on it.
Spending £7, £8, the same amount of money I would have spent on two coffees.
Because you're nice.
Because I'm like...
£7 on a Persian Milky Way.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, yeah. And like, I even get the chocolate that I just don't actually quite like, but I feel like I should buy something because I can't just go, £3 with the card, please, sir. Thank you.
I got no shame. I'll go in there, double espresso, 150. Cheers, boss.
Did you? You haven't?
Yeah.
150?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Oh, you are different. Yeah, you.
You've got to just roll with the times. No, we live in a cashless society.
But this is why I'm putting it out. It's me thinking about it. I shouldn't be thinking about it.
No.
It's a wonderful place. It's a real throwback, a real bastion.
So that's out, which, as is my next place, and this place probably would have made it into the old Soho because that was before there was food health laws. So I'm putting bad gluten in, but this week it reared its ugly head. James Bird suggested where we should go for lunch, and we went to Laxa on Old Compton Street. I had a beef rendang. Seb had a beef rendang. James had Laxa, and the rendang was fine, but we ordered some fried chicken. And I've been doing elimination tests with gluten, right? Anyway, we had this fried chicken. Fuck me. I don't know if it was cheap gluten, dirty oil they'd fried them in, or whatever. But my arse, honestly. but I was in pain. My stomach was in fucking pain. Like, woke up in the middle of the night and everything. My missus walked into the living room yesterday, and it's got quite a high ceiling in our living room.
So they're doing exorcism.
No, she went, fucking hell, has something happened with the drains? The drains blocked.
Oh, my God.
You'll have to have a look at the weekend. And I went, that's not the drains.
It's not the drains, it's me.
I had some bad gluten today.
It was nice, but I will echo.
Seb, look, mate, I fucking love you a lot, right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
But you have got the... honestly, I reckon you've got one taste bud.
That is a horrible, horrible thing to say.
No, he enjoys his food.
I do. No, I know what he means.
Seb, don't let him say that. That is a terrible... No. That is
what
awful
I was
going to
say was
say
I've had some...
No, I'm not saying he's got no taste.
No,
his
no.
taste, mate.
He's only got...
he's got a single taste bud.
This is my taste, mate.
That hits the spot. Literally the spot.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The one spot of taste. I was going to say...
Seb, I don't think...
I've had a similar... familiarity with the toilet over the last couple of days post that. Even though it was really fucking nice.
Have you?
Yeah, honestly.
We talk about our stomach so much.
The rendang was great. I thought the rendang was really nice. Bit fatty, but good.
Is it out?
This has been reminding you why you love gluten.
Yeah.
Good gluten. Yeah.
You're a part of big gluten, aren't you? Yeah. You're a bloody shill for big gluten.
Yeah.
Fucking Seb. Sleeps in a big duvet. Looks like a baguette. Folds himself every night. Just gets in.
with his one taste bud.
The pillow's different colours, so it's the lettuce and everything.
Just opens up the big baguette and just
You're
gets
in. Pink pyjamas like the ham.
Night, Seb. Night, Rebecca.
I'm just getting into my baguette.
Oh, no, it's got a bit wet at the end.
Can you call me Ham Boy? Rebecca dresses the cheese.
He's gone.
Sebastian Hovis White.
Please. Please share, review.
Thank you. Thank you.
And rate. Thank you to Ed in the control booth. Thank you to Spiritland. This has been Remind You Why You Love Football. Monday out, we've always got issues live. Please subscribe. Do what you need to do. Goodbye.
Got a lot of issues.
Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Monday Owl and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.